First of all, let's review our teaching concerning elders that we took up last time. Remember, we were pointing out that in the early days, as the apostles went out and preached the gospel, when they saw people come to know the Lord, they encouraged those people to begin meeting together, to study the Bible, to pray, to encourage and help one another. And then the apostles came back, as we read in Acts 14, and they pointed out to them, after a period of time, they pointed out to them that the men who were the most spiritual in their group should be the elders. They should take the leadership. And there's another term also used for such, and this is the term bishop or overseer, better translated this way. And these two terms describe this person now who is to be a leader in the church. And we pointed out that in every church, the apostles appointed a group of men who were the elders, not one man who was the pastor, but a group who worked together in the leadership of God's people. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety, the book of Proverbs says, and this is surely true. How easy it is if one man is in charge of a local church for him to dominate the work and for him to make wrong choices and wrong decisions. And yet how much wiser it is when there's a company of God's people here, elders, those who are spiritually minded and spiritually mature to make the decisions and to be the leaders for the work. And in Acts chapter 20, in verses 28 and 29, the Apostle Paul turns over the work of the local church to this group of elders in Ephesus. And he says, now you shepherd, you feed, you care for the flock. You're responsible to God. God has given you this concern, and God has raised you up to do this work. Now do it. Do it wholeheartedly. Care for the sheep. Guard against wolves. Guard against any influences coming in that would disrupt the work of God. Guard against false teaching. The work of the elder to shepherd and care for the sheep. And he's to do this, of course, primarily by example. He's to be an example to the flock in 1 Peter 5. Peter exhorts those who are elders. He says, I'm a fellow elder. He doesn't say he's a pope or that he is a bishop over a number of churches. He says, I'm just a fellow elder. I'm an apostle and a fellow elder. And here he exhorts them to be examples. He says, this isn't the work you do for money, because in the early churches, we don't believe that these elders were salaried or anything like this. They worked for a living, but this was their big concern to shepherd and care for the local church. And Peter says to them, now you be examples to the flock. Don't lord it over them. Don't try to whip them into line, but be an example to God's people. And so as we think of this, we realize how important the qualifications of an elder are, how important that his character be what it should be. And I'd like to read the qualifications as given in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm going to read from a modern translation, today's English version, a recent translation put out by the American Bible Society. Verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man is eager to be a church leader, he desires an excellent work. A church leader must be a man without fault. He must have only one wife, be sober, self-controlled, and orderly. He must welcome strangers in his home. He must be able to teach. He must not be a drunkard or a violent man, but gentle and peaceful. He must not love money. He must be able to manage his own family well and make his children obey him with all respect. For if a man does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of the church of God? He must not be a man who has been recently converted, else he will swell up with pride and be condemned as the devil was. He should be a man who is respected by the people outside the church so that he will not be disgraced and fall into the devil's trap. Now, these are the qualifications as given in 1 Timothy 3. And I'd like to think of these qualifications as being not only qualifications for an elder or a church leader, as this translation puts it, and the King James has a bishop, but it's the same thought here. This is the leader one of the leaders in the local church. I like to think of it not simply as a description of how he should be, his life, his character, but as being an example for all of us. This is how each one of us should live, because the elder here is to be an example in his life and in his conduct for all the sheep. As a shepherd in those oriental lands would lead his sheep out, the Lord Jesus could speak of, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And the shepherd in those lands didn't use a dog and trail behind the sheep, but he went before them. And the flock was fairly small, and he knew the sheep, knew them by name, knew their weaknesses, knew their good points, knew all about them. It was like a family almost, and the sheep would follow him. He chose the direction they were to go, and the sheep followed him. They walked in his steps. And this is a picture of a New Testament church with a group of men, godly men who are elders, setting the lead in their lives, in their conduct, in such a way that the sheep now are going to follow. They set the pattern under God. And so as we think of the qualifications given here, we realize this is what God wants for every Christian. If you're a Christian and you're listening to me, this is how God wants you to live. This is how God wants your home to be conducted. And for the elder, it's a requirement. Now notice that the first thing that I would like to bring out is that his character is a disciplined character, a trained character. He's one who's learned to control himself. He's one who has good judgment. It speaks of him here as being sober-minded, as having wisdom. He's lived long enough. He's not rash. He doesn't move foolishly. He has good judgment, and a judgment, really, too, that comes from his knowledge of God and from the Word of God, so that he lives wisely. It speaks of his control over his appetites. You notice the different things that are mentioned here. He's to control his physical appetites. He's not to be a drunkard. He's not to be one given to much wine. Someone who can't control his physical appetites, and I think this could also be true of eating. He's not to be a glutton. He's temperate, self-control in this area. He's also to be able to control his sex life. And this is emphasized, isn't it? When it says, and this is one of the first requirements, he must be the husband of one wife. Or, more literally, a one-woman man. He's to be absolutely moral. He's to be faithful to his wife. He's not to have any taint upon his character as to being loose with women. This is a requirement for a leader of God's people, for an elder. And this is something that, of course, should mark all of God's people. And in these days in which we live, where there's so much immorality and looseness with regard to sex, and so many young people experimenting, and so many brides going down to be married, going down the aisle, already pregnant. What a tragic thing. So many homes torn up, homes breaking, because there isn't this discipline, this self-control, this determination. I will marry one woman, and I will be faithful to her, and this is it. This is what God wants. And you know, if only the world could realize that this other type of thing, looseness with regard to morals, never brings happiness. It always brings unhappiness for the husband, for the wife, for the children. It just ruins, it destroys lives. And you're the overseer, the elder, the church leader, is to be one who is to be absolutely circumspect in this regard. He's to be a one-woman man. So he's to have learned complete control here in this area. Also, it points out he's to control his temper. And this is an area in which many men have difficulties. And yet, under the hand of the Lord, they if they're to be an elder, must learn to control this, because they're dealing with other people. And oftentimes, Christians can be very, very exasperating. And there'll be problems that you run into in dealing and working with people. And so there must be here this control of temper. One must not become so angry he cannot control himself. It speaks of him not being a striker, not being contentious, not being argumentative, not with a chip on his shoulder, so to speak, but gentle. This is emphasized, gentle. Because when dealing with the Lord's people, there needs to be this gentleness. He's to be a man who's marked by contentment, not greedy or filthy lucre, as it speaks of it here, or no lover of money. Content with the things he has. He's happy to have his needs met and to be useful for God. He's not living for material things, not marked by materialism. His home life. Besides controlling himself, he's to be in control of his home. He's to be the leader, and this is a test, really, of his leadership, isn't it? He's to be, of course, moral and faithful to his wife. We've already mentioned this. His children are to be disciplined. His home is not to be a lawless home. It's to be a home that is disciplined and under control. His children are to respect him and his wife. It's to be a home marked by order. This is perhaps the greatest test we have, the test that we have in our own home. His home is to be marked by hospitality, by generosity. The home can be a place of so much blessing to others. Priscilla and Aquila took Apollos into their home and they instructed in furthering the things of God. Their home became a spiritual blessing to him. Our homes as Christians should be places of blessing to other Christians. They should be places of blessing to those who know not the Lord. They should be able to come. We should have an open home so that they can come. And over a meal, discuss the things of God. If we show friendship, if we show kindness, how many people's hearts are open. And the elder here is to be an example in having a hospitable, open home. Not living just selfishly for himself. His home he regards as just a trust from the Lord, a blessing from God. He wants it to be used for God. And so this is a mark of an elder. His spiritual life. Oh, he's to be a man of God. He's not to be just a young Christian. He's to have some experience, not a novice. He's to be apt to teach. He must know the Word of God well enough so he can help others. This means he must study it. This means he must spend his life in it. He must be immersed in it. All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And the elder, the one who's taking leadership, who's a shepherd in the local church, is a man marked by the book. Oh, how this is needed today. So many demands on our time. But the man who's to be a man of God and a leader to God's people is to be a man who's marked by study of the Word so that he can teach and he can help and he can instruct God's people. We need to pray today that God will give us men like this. And we need to pray that our homes will be like this, that our homes will be godly homes, homes marked by the Word of God, where the Word of God is loved and studied and fed upon and enjoyed, and homes that are marked by prayer. God give us homes like this.